close to the fire. The instruction is, if you would like to participate, put your favorite scripture verse on a card. Or, if it's not your favorite, you can put a scripture verse that has always made you feel confused and put a question mark in the corner. Yeah, Kenny?
Do you want us to write it out? Or just a verse?
Please write it out. You don't even have to have the reference entirely, but please write out. So if it's really, really long, condense it. Kids, you may either write out one of your favorite verses, or you are welcome to draw a picture of something that you like in the Bible. But we are wanting you to participate if you wouldn't mind. Some sort of picture or verse. Or question mark. We're going to give you about 30 seconds more. After we're done with this, we're going to try something we have never done before. Yay! It's like live television. I did that for a while. And did set fire to the set twice. Seriously, twice. Then they learned Anne should not do cooking shows. Ever. Thank goodness. So then I got switched to all the computer shows instead of the cooking shows, which was slightly less dangerous. I'm not sure if it was actually more informative or not, but how it worked. Okay.
My wife sells computers.
You have to write it out. I can't go by a reference.
That's all I got.
That's all you got? Okay. So pass your card forward if you wouldn't mind. And here's the thing, pass your card, or Brad will go and gather them. Yeah. And then if you are done with that, I want you to take your second index card.
They're still writing.
Okay, well, I'll give them a moment to write them. Hey, see, some people are done. Nice. On your second card, if you are done writing, here is something we have never done before. I'm super excited to give it a go because our community here, the reason why we're even gathering together is to experience the Lord's presence, to celebrate what he's been doing in our lives, to find out what else he wants to say to us, to develop our skills in being his goodness in the earth, right? Being his good, like that's such a great, right? That's so good. So here's what we're gonna have you do. We've never done this before and I'm super excited, so you grab your second one. What I'd like for you to do is ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want to say to me tonight? What do you want to say to me tonight? Not what are, you know, what do you want to say to me tonight? If you hear nothing, it's okay. I have often heard nothing. That's cool. Sometimes it's an impression. Sometimes it's a feeling. Sometimes it's a smell. Sometimes it's a picture. Sometimes it doesn't make any sense. super hard time hearing what I felt like the Lord wanted to spend our time doing this week. I don't know if any of you have ever felt that space where you're like, what are you saying? What are you doing? And so I felt that all this week. And it was really encouraging and comforting to me to know that the Lord has said to me, this isn't about a message. This isn't about gathering and hearing a message. This is about gathering and seeing each other the way God sees us. This is about gathering and learning how to see ourselves the way God sees us. So I had a couple of really cool things happen this week. One of them was I decided to hike later than I've hiked in the last 6 months. Just landed at the bottom of Black Mountain. And I happened to run into a good friend, and it was Bianca, and she happened to be hiking at that same time. And so the Lord set up a divine appointment for us. And I love how God sets up these divine appointments to meet us in the right place at the right time to help give us perspective, right? And he wants to do that with each other. He wants to do it in this place of relationship and intimacy. So I want you to take the card where you wrote down, or if you haven't written down yet, what you think God wants to say to you tonight. I want you to flip it over because we're going to take an adventure tonight. We're going to try something that I haven't really quite done before, and that was one, we're listening to hear what God wants to say to us, and then I'm believing for this space and this partnership and these people to really connect with us on a personal level because God has an agenda for us. He wants to meet us physically, you know, at the bottom of our mountain to speak into our lives. And so we're going to, like, take a leap with that. And isn't that fun that we get to do that? Like, that's such a cool, fun, amazing thing. So we're going to start off with, we've done this two other times, which is pick your verse. And it's so terrifying every time we do it. And basically what we do is I have a message that I think the Lord wants to share, and we just weave the scripture into that message. And it's been really amazing sometimes, but it might not be this time, so we'll just see what happens, okay? So, in fact, the Lord goes over to the other side of the table, okay? We'll see if that means anything at all. Okay, so I'm grabbing this one, and one of the things I felt like the Lord wanted me to share was a little bit about who we are and our journey in getting here. When I went to Bethel almost 2 years ago, many of you know that I had an opportunity to share with some kids that were students there, you know, and these kids, they like get to hear the best messages ever from everyone all around the world, travels to Bethel and gives these incredible messages, right? And so my niece, Hannah, had invited me and she said, I need you to like share with my friends some of the things that you've been sharing with me, Aunt Angie. And I was like, well, that's awkward because these kids have been in school, right? It's like they've had everyone who's anyone in the Christian world, literally world, come and speak to them. And I'm going to come and speak, you know, in her living room to like, you know, 10 of her best friends. And this was my hoped for outcome. My hoped for outcome was that they would pat me on the arm and say, oh, you know, Aunt Angie, Hannah's aunt, thank you so much for sharing with us what we learned the first week here at Bethel. Like, aren't you so sweet to come and share that with us? And that was pretty much what I expected to happen, right? I figured if what God had been doing in my life over the past 8 years was aligned with something really amazing like what Bethel was doing, I figured like that was my gold star. Just to be honest with you, like that was going to be my win, was that I would find out that I was kind of on the same track. Because to be honest with you, as much as I love them, I don't like listen to a lot of their podcasts or their broadcasts, and I don't read a lot of their books. But I was kind of finding out that we were on similar tracks. And so I just figured, you know, like that's, have you ever gone into a situation like that where you thought, okay, here's the best outcome that could possibly happen, right? I don't utterly humiliate myself. That's the best, you know, that's what I'm shooting for. I'm shooting for not humiliated. So, ready for the first one? Oh, cool. Okay, the maker is, the maker, the Lord, is my husband. And the Lord is his name and my redeemer. That's number, there's several different verses here that they love. And my children shall be taught of the Lord. Interesting. Huh? Enlarge the place of your tent. Fear not. You will forget the shame of your youth. so crazy, insane. So, when I went there to share and was hoping to not be humiliated, which I actually had realized wasn't even a fear anymore, because when I was driving on my way over, I realized I wasn't nervous. Any of you guys ever done that where you've been really nervous about stuff and then all of a sudden you discover, I'm not nervous anymore? Yes, you've done this? Yes! What was it? What did you do that you weren't nervous anymore?
I wasn't ready to swim to you, and I was in the swimming
pool. Right?
Like, I think it was on like the fourth or third day. It was like, I got really used to it.
You're not really used to it after having you. And why do you think you got not nervous anymore?
Because I know that the water was kind of cold, but the first day, I didn't get what the strokes were about, and so I kept just doing this and then doggy paddling, and so I was really out of breath. But like the third day, I got into the second and under pools, so it was way warmer. I can understand like the strokes.
Yes. Okay. I had this exact same experience. I realized that I don't have to be nervous because I wasn't worried about whether or not I did well or not. Like, I kind of was starting to figure things out. So I love that. Anyone else ever been in a position, kiddos? Because you're going to go here in just a minute. Anyone else had that kind of an experience where you're like super nervous and then all of a sudden you realize you're not nervous anymore? And I felt like the Lord was saying to me in this situation, he goes, you're not nervous anymore because this is no longer about performance. You're no longer about performance. You're no longer worried as to whether or not this is going to go well or not. And he said, and by the way, every time you share, you're not allowed to be nervous anymore. Now, do you know what that means? That means it's his job to make me not nervous, right? Because if I'm not allowed, if he's telling me you're not allowed to be nervous, then that's his job to change me to be in line with who he says I am. I love that, because I used to live my life thinking it was my job to bring myself into alignment with him, and how good has that worked for everyone? Not so well, right? So before kids go, I want to share this. So I walked into this living room, and there were about 12 kids, and I started to share just a little bit of the journey that we had with Darby, and a little bit of the journey that we had with Abraham, and a little bit of the journey that we had in our marriage. And because these kids were ready to experience the shift in perspective, they started to have a physical reaction to the things that we were sharing. It was so crazy. Like, one time I went like this, and half the room, like, got knocked over. And I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't know it was loaded. You know, because they were so ready to feel the shift in what was happening. And some of them were, like, kind of holding their head, and they're like, what is really even happening right now? I can feel my brain changing right now as we're talking. And it was such a fun experience. And when we were done, they said to me, why haven't we known this all of our lives? Why haven't what you're sharing, why haven't we known this? Why? They're like, it's everything that everyone talks about, but for some reason now I can see it. And I felt like, and I asked, I didn't know what was happening, to be honest with you. I was totally confused. So I left them and I went, what just happened? So on your card, you might want to write, what does this mean? What shall I do? Because I've discovered that when God wants to show us something and we're a little bit confused, the first thing to ask is, what does this mean? What shall I do? So I asked the Lord after I met with these kids, and they kind of just, in fact, the next day, as I'm sitting in class with my niece, she keeps getting all these texts coming in, and she goes, it's all of the kids that came last night. They want to meet with you again tonight. I'm like, why would they want to meet with me again tonight? These are kids who are in class. They're hearing some of the best speakers and the best people who are ministering all around the world. What? And I'm just a simple, you know, stay-at-home mom, you know, hanging out with my family, sharing a few things that God taught us. And they're like, we need you back. In fact, they wanted so much to hear that they decided to come at 8 o'clock at night and wouldn't leave until 2 o'clock in the morning. And I was astounded. So I asked the Lord, what does this mean? What shall I do? And here's what I felt like the Lord slowly unwrapped over time. He He said, I need you to know, and I'm going to just be real. This is like, I'm just getting really vulnerable right here. Because this is like, me just putting my heart right out on the table. I felt like the Lord said, Ange, I needed you to know where you stand on an international stage. I need you to understand that what I have given you as an understanding of who I am and what I'm doing, I need you to know what that feels like to other people who are experiencing what's happening all around the world. I need you to know that. And the reason I need you to know that is because I need you to know what's coming next. And that kind of freaked me out, I'll be honest with you. Have you ever been like just totally freaked out? I kind of was really, really freaked out, I'll be honest. So the next day, well, I'll finish this with the kids because I know you guys got to go. So the next day, here's a funny thing. They have these things at Bethel called prayer booths. And basically what that is you can take a card and you go in and they will just listen to the Lord for you and then they'll share with you what it is that they feel like God has said, right? Like we practice that here. Well, these things are like, they're free, but you have to register for them. And I haven't registered for one. So these have been all given out like probably 5 months before this conference. So there were none of these tickets, right? And so my niece had asked me, are you gonna go to the prayer booth? And I was like, I didn't even know it existed. And she's like, yeah, well, sorry, that's not gonna work out for you. And I'm like, that's fine. I didn't even know about it to begin with, so no big deal. As we were walking up to the building though, her roommate came running up to me and she's like, I have a ticket, I have a ticket. It was totally like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. I have a golden ticket. Like seriously, she was so excited. And this is a gal who, I'm not sure if she could like have an excited emotion if it like knocked her over, because she was like super, super calm and easygoing. So to see her this excited was kind of crazy. Anyway, so she goes, I have a ticket, I have a ticket. Somebody brought in an extra ticket and they're not gonna be able to come and I have it and it's in 15 minutes, do you want it? Now I was gonna say, no. Because it's fine, it's okay, I hear the Lord, other people hear the Lord for me, like, I don't want to take a ticket from someone else. And the Lord said to me right then, he says, do you see how excited she is? Do you see that she has come running up to give you something? Don't turn it away. And I realized something in that. Okay, he says, go to the next verse. I have no idea if this is going to connect, but let's do it. Okay, ready? 1 Timothy 4:8, for bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable for all things. Having promise of the light, who, help me? That's you? Having promise of the life that is now, come on, help me, girl.
For bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable for all things. Having promise of this,
so let's see how that fits in here. So he said, don't turn this gal down. Say yes to the blessing that I put right in your hand. And I realized that there had been a lot of times in my life where I had turned down a blessing that God had wanted to put into my hand. Has that ever happened to you? Where you went, no, someone else needs this more than me. No, it's okay, I can pass. Where God lands someone at the bottom of Black Mountain as you're ready to go up, and you could just not share what's going on in your life and not take advantage of the blessing, right? How many times have we walked past the very thing that God wants to put into our hand, right? And so maybe in this case, it's not so much about exercise and what that does in our life, the things that we do for ourselves, but having the perspective of God that he said, take this, take advantage of this, the godliness perspective, that is the promise of now and what is to come. And so I went into this session with a ticket that had been given to me that had been reserved by somebody else 5 months before. You know, somebody else has sometimes made a reservation for something that God wants to do in your life right now. And so I walked in And I had a gentleman speak over our life, and he said, I see that there's something that you and your husband are doing, which they didn't know anything. I mean, I had a ring, so that's like a given. But he said, are you and your husband doing a thing? And I'm like, well, we're kind of doing a thing. We're meeting in my house, it's a thing. And he says, this thing that God has given you to steward, he goes, this thing that God has given you to steward, I see that it is like a rock that goes in a pond and the ripples go out. And he goes, but as the ripples go out, they get bigger. And it becomes these waves. And he goes, and I see that these waves go across the ocean and around the world. And that there will be, you will not be able to see the ends of the waves of the impact of this thing that God's given you to steward. Now here's the really cool news. Guess what? That word is true for you. What God has given you to steward of the goodness of Him will be like a rock in a pond, and waves will go out, and those waves will go beyond the oceans and around the world. All of us have been given so much of the Lord to steward. And that's like so good news. Yes! And so therefore, I am crucified with Christ. Therefore I live, yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me, who gave himself for me. Oh, so good. Our life becomes this union life expression. It becomes this partnership. And it happens by faith. So we're going to talk about that. But we're going to release kids to go. Everyone under, what do we say our age is? Help me, I'm having a total brain cramp. 10. We do 10 and under is what we typically do? Yes. Okay. So those kiddos are released to go. Abraham will meet you at the door. Thanks for the story, Aiden. Swimming, awesome, love it. So we have a few minutes. What I love about this passage is that it actually accurately reflects what happens in our relationship with the Lord, which is the faith of the Son of God who loves me. I don't know if most of you know, but there's a really cool thing happening with Scripture and with ancient documents all around the world, and that is that there's this renaissance happening in scholarship. So that you know, because it used to be that if you wanted to go see the ancient documents, the scriptures, you would have to physically go travel to the countries where nobody's allowed to go, and you'd have to physically see, and you weren't allowed to take pictures, and then you could document and write down what you saw. And that is what we knew of these ancient documents. But now, because of the internet, and now because of digital photography, and now because of all different kinds of things, we now have access to these ancient documents, and they're being compared back and forth, and people are understanding not just about scripture, but about all these ancient documents. New things, new discoveries are coming out about what this language really means. And so there is this very cool thing in here that I'm going to, I think, take a little bit more of our time on, and that is the faith of Christ. Okay? Does that sound good? Yay! So, would you do faith, baby? It's my partner in crime. I love you so much. And you wear your turquoise shirt without me asking. Typically, he's not really in love with the turquoise shirt, I'll just be honest with you, but you did it. You did it. And you did it for me, because he certainly doesn't wear these shirts for himself, I'm just saying. But I love it. Are you embarrassed? I'm sorry.
No, okay. I'm not embarrassed.
Faith.
Which side?
Oh, on the left side.
On the left side.
On the left side. I know I never do that, right?
This for my video conference this week.
Oh yeah, and people gave you really nice compliments on your gorgeous blue eyes.
Nobody mentioned it at all, actually. And I didn't mention anyone else's clothing either. So.
Okay, ready? So the next passage is 1 Corinthians 10:13. Your situation is not unique. Every human life faces contradictions, but here's the good news. God believes in your freedom. He has made it possible for you to triumph in every situation that you ever encounter. Right? 1 Corinthians 10:13, I'm guessing, is that a message version?
It's a mirror.
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 I'm sorry, mirror is what I meant. Mirror, Virginia. Francois, our good friend from South Africa, who's kind of been 25 years into this great scholarship. And so I always grew up thinking that faith was belief, right? We believed in God. But I've come to discover, and this is some of the fun things that I got to share with those kids at Bethel, that totally knocked them over, which knocked me over in return. As I said, in this journey over the past 10 years, the Lord said to me, faith is not belief. Because how many of us have believed for many things and been sorely disappointed? Right? How many of us have been abused by our own beliefs? Right? Right? And we have found ourselves under a heavy yoke of something we thought we were supposed to believe, but we just couldn't. In fact, my least favorite phrase is just have faith. Do you realize that that's a total contradiction? If you had it, you wouldn't have to be told to just have it. And I think that it speaks to a major misunderstanding in how our relationship with God works, which is, who is the source of our faith? Who's the source? Are we the source of our faith, or is God the source of our faith? Yeah, you can all speak up. What do you think? Really? Are you sure about that? Okay, if he's the source of our faith, then why are we working so hard to have more faith? Right? In fact, Jesus claims to be the author and perfecter. Well, Paul claims that Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. So if he authors our faith in us, and we have discovered that many of our beliefs don't work, then faith must be something totally different. And I have come to believe that faith is an agreement with God, not a belief. So if you would put that, that would be awesome, babe. It's an agreement with God. Faith is what moves mountains. Faith is what changes everything. But faith isn't a belief about or in something. It is an agreement with. And the one who makes us able to have an agreement with him is him. Because how do we know if we're coming into agreement with God except for that he awakens us to the very thing that he's going to do? Right? He awakens us. In fact, I think this is something easy. Is that Ezekiel? Maybe 36? Ezekiel? Yeah? He says, I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit in you. I will remove the stone heart from your body and replace it with a heart that is God-willed, not self-willed.
Ezekiel what?
36 something. I will put my spirit in you and make it possible for you to do what I tell you, to live by my commands. What? Right? So it's not us trying to figure it out. It is an agreement with him. But here's how it gets even better. It gets even better because the very source of our ability to agree with him is the very spirit that he made us to be. So, okay, ready? So, before the world began, God had a bunch of really great thoughts, right? And some of those great thoughts were us. He imagined in his mind an amazing being, and he was so excited about that being became real, right? That was you, that was you, that was you, that was me. He agreed with himself, and that agreement meant that we became a person. That identity is what we awaken to through Christ. It wasn't non-existent before. It always existed because it resided in God's mind, and then it dwelt in us, and we awaken to it through Christ. We awaken to our original design. And that spirit that is in us is awakened to our true and authentic selves. Here's the cool thing. His agreement with himself is what made us real, right?
It is his agreement regarding us that makes us become who he made us to be. No longer confused by sin, no longer confused by negatives, no longer confused by what we're not. And so, is our plan to believe for our freedom, or is it his agenda to breathe into us his very own agreement and to make us able to agree with him too? And so one of these major shifts in scripture that I have discovered is that, you know how when Jesus says, have more faith, right? There's several scriptures where he says, have more faith, and then there's other scriptures where Paul even says, have more faith. Right? Please help me. Tell me you understand what I'm talking about, right? Well, there's a little bit of a typo. When you go from Greek and go to English, it's kind of like the apostrophe. Any of you like learned about the apostrophe, right? And it changes the ownership, right? So if you had Marcy's purse, that apostrophe means that the purse belongs to who? Marcy, right? If you have Eli's baseball cap, that apostrophe says whose, even though I'm holding it, whose baseball cap is it? It's Eli's. If I put it on and wear it and steal it, but it's Eli's cap, whose is it? Right? So in scripture, there is a typo where the ownership of faith has been misunderstood, because throughout scripture, always throughout scripture, the Lord said, keep the cap up. Okay. I'm just kidding. That's just what I perceived. I don't know for sure. Okay. Pretty sure. That when we talk about faith, always, 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 it's always written in scripture, God's faith. He's the owner of the faith. And so we have the faith of God. We don't have faith in God. We have God's agreement with himself about us in us. And it so works and moves within us that it overwhelms us to get us to agree with his agreement with himself. And you can research it. But all, isn't that will be fun. Go ahead and research it. Because all throughout scripture, it is not written faith in God. It is the faith of God by which we are saved. It is the faith of God by which, all things are possible. It is not our faith in God by which all things are possible. It is the faith of God in us. All things are possible. When we start to awaken to that reality, that it is his faith, his agreement with himself, that transforms our life. It takes us out of performance and into awakening. So let's see what 2 Samuel 16 has to say. Okay, this is a question. Why was David not invited or included with Jesse's other sons? Is that yours?
Yeah.
Sweet. Okay, help me.
So, I've kind of been on it. There's a...
You have four arrows in your arm, sir.
Yeah. Help out.
I guess raising the question was David legitimate son of Jesse, and in the sense that, did you listen to Johnny and Lowe's? Did a message where he's talking about rejection and the four keys in David's life, as far as praise and so forth, and
Okay. How
it was possible that he was an illegitimate child, and in that sense that he would have been the 11th generation of that would have broken the bastard curse of the 10 generations before him.
Okay.
Which made sense, but
There's a way this is going to fit. I know this seems totally off topic, but God is just so cool. He's going to make this fit. Watch this happen, okay? It's going to happen right before our eyes. Keep going.
So, I, like you were saying earlier, I was like, how come I never heard this before? It had never been raised that that was possible. That, like, that's why he wasn't invited. Because when a prophet said, bring all your sons, he would have brought all his sons. But knowing that David, if that's true, he wouldn't have been considered an heir to the rest of the brothers. And when he went to go bring them food and was asking about Goliath, you know, one of the brothers said, like, you know, he questioned his whole motivation for being there. And then when David came into being king, none of his brothers were part of around him. You know? So in that, I was like, wow, that totally changes things when you think about who David was and how he handled himself, both when he was watching the sheep and then when he came into his kingdom and respecting Saul's position through that whole time period, and how the Psalms and how honest they are, we can all identify with them because we've all been in that place at one time or another of rejection. And anyway, that I was after that, after hearing that, I was like, wow, this is really, because I always wondered why he was left out.
Right. So if any of you are familiar, when Jesse's family, or he was asked to bring all of his sons before the prophet, which was, I'm sorry, I'm having a blank, Samuel. And, you know, of course, David was left. Many thought it was because he was the youngest. There is speculation that it was because he was an illegitimate child, and that's why he wasn't included in the sons. It wasn't just that he was the youngest, so that's what you're referencing. And so he said, don't you have another son? Because the Lord had said, not this one, not this one, not this one. And so it does really speak to, and there is a lot of speculation historically about this story and about David's right within the family. So here's what I felt like. I don't know how that fits entirely with your question, but here's what I feel like it fits with us for now. Because it's really cool. Inheritance. If you would mind putting inheritance on here. I think that I have spent most of my life trying to believe my intimacy or that intimacy is possible with God. I think that I have spent most of my life trying to earn or get to a place of intimacy with God. I don't know if you have felt that way. I know I just talked to some women a couple of months ago, and I said, what do you feel like God's saying in your life? And the gal said to me, I don't know, I haven't done my devotions lately. Right? How many of us have thought, right, that we have to earn the right to have a relationship with the Lord? To have intimacy, that we have to be doing the right things. And if there's a piece that's missing in our lives, or a sin that's active in our life, that somehow we don't deserve to hear him. And I feel the Lord saying, in this case, I don't know how this fits for you specifically, but for all of us, I feel the Lord saying, it is your inheritance that you be owned by me, that you be known by me. In fact, my kids don't earn the right to have a relationship with me through their behavior. Right? I don't choose to speak to them or not speak to them based on how they behave around the house. They have access to relationship with us because they exist. And I feel like this is such a key part of overcoming religion, is that we are learning that it is our inheritance, no matter what circumstance we find ourselves in, it is our inheritance that we have access to intimacy with God. And that we have access to what dwells in us, which is the very faith of God regarding us. So that was kind of cool and tricky all at the same time. So we're going to wrap up here in just a moment. But God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life.
and our belief, right? We have like been founded on that verse, right? Again, check this out. Check out where the ownership of this comes from. You can look it up. That's John 3:16. Check out where the belief comes from in the very way that this verse is set up. Right? Because we've all thought that it comes from our ability to believe. But hasn't belief just become another level of performance? Yay! So ever since we first heard of you, we have kept on praying and asking God to help you understand what he wants to do, asking him to make you wise about spiritual things, asking you that you will live, that the way you live will always please God. That's Colossians 1:9. So ever since they heard of you, we've kept on praying and asking God to help you understand. That's so good about spiritual things. And Eli wrote, thanks Eli, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yay! Strength. So would you write up strength? Feel the Lord encouraging us and wanting to take a moment to acknowledge that part in particular and strength and him going, can you hear it? Do you feel it? Can you hear it? What do you hear?
It's not our strength. It's not our way or wants or behavior. It's just his atmosphere around us.
Yeah. So I'm sorry we didn't get that on, but she was saying it's his. But let me add to that if that's okay. It is so his agreement about us being made able that makes us able. It is so him knowing, because we've been taught to think for so long that we're so weak and unable, and him going, you only find yourself weak and unable when you don't realize that I made you capable and able, but only through my seeing you capable and able, do you have the revelation yourself of your own magnificence? So good, okay? Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, and raised up with him and seated with him in heavenly places, yes! Our spirit is continually seated with God, which is so fun, right? And that's how we know these things. It's because we can perceive it in our spirit. And do not worry about your life, what to eat, what you will wear, etc. Is not the body more than clothes? Which goes right with the last one. Because we are seated in spiritual places. And I don't want to miss one of them, so I'm going to do these last two. He says, I am the vine. And sing and be glad and rejoice with all your heart. For the Lord has taken away your punishment and turned back your enemy. Never will you fear any harm. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love and rejoice over you with singing. Ooh. So we will finish with this. If you will look at your part about what God wanted to say to you tonight. Let me flip this, because so many of us are so in tune with worshiping the Lord that he wants us to understand how much he celebrates us. Like, Greg and I just went to Darby's volleyball game. She's a part of a new team, and she got to be setter, and the team is like all over the place. They're like learning new strategy that they've never learned before, and he put her as a setter, and she's even a back row setter, which she's never really even seen done before. And we were sitting in the stands watching our daughter run all over the court, you know, to get to a set. And Was that not the most, and Abraham kept blowing bubbles, you know, next to me, and like wanting, and I'm like, stop with the bubble. I want to see my girl run around and knock the ball. Like, it was so, so exciting. It was so fun to just celebrate her magnificence. And I just felt the Lord saying, in this space, can you hear me singing over you in your magnificence? You might be in a space in your life where you are doing plays you have never done before. You might be in a space in your life where you are trying out things that you have never tried before. You might be doing things that you're like, I don't even know if this is possible. I'm totally, utterly confused. And I feel the Lord going, I am so excited about this. Let me sing and be glad and rejoice over you. Let me, in fact, if you can just hear this, hear the Lord saying, let me rejoice over you with all my heart. Let me take away anything that you have perceived as punishment and turn back anything that has felt like it has come against you. Let me help you know that you never fear any harm, because I take great delight in you, and I will guide you with my love, and I will rejoice over you with singing. So may we this week hear him sing over us. May we hear him in our dreams. May we hear him in our awake. May we see his adoration for us reflected in each other's eyes. Does anybody want to take a moment and share what they felt like God wanted to say to them tonight?
I'm Bianca, and the Lord said to me, relax into what I have planned for you. Your illusion of any kind of control is now surrendered.
Woo! That's so good.
Conversation with somebody, and they very gently and lovingly challenged me about like hearing from God and said, how do you have enough confidence in yourself to attempt this or to do this? And I really had to spend some time with it, and I mean, I kind of knew what I wanted to say back, but I really didn't have a bit. Nobody had ever asked that question that way, that I'm so confident in myself to try to listen for other people. But when you said inheritance, so I think it goes to your verse, the light bulb went on. It's not my confidence in myself, it's my inheritance as a part of, as God's daughter, that I get to hear my dad.
Yeah.
And know his heart, like know his heart.
Yeah.
So that was really so beautiful. Good. So thanks for sharing that verse.
That was yours, Ethan, right?
No, I think that was David.
Oh, it was Dave. Sorry.
David.
Yep, David. Yep, sorry. Got confused there. But yes. Did somebody else here? And did you want to share? Okay.
It was really simple. It was to listen.
You say it again.
It was just to listen. But what I found on the other side is, what does this mean and what shall I do? It was to receive and enjoy. Don't forget.
Ooh. Wow. That takes it to a whole other level. Very cool. Okay, anyone else? Did you want to?
Yeah.
Greg's going to. Hold on 1 second.
Sure.
What was wild about that was I binge watched Game of Thrones for like over the summer, and got to the last, this latest season when it was going. So
You're not going to wreck this, right?
What's that?
Spoiler, right?
No. So then I had to wait every week to watch it, as opposed to like watching 5 or 6 episodes at one time. But we got to the point at the end where this character, Jon Snow, is always considered to be a bastard son. So he was not, he wasn't an heir to the throne. And so he never thought of himself as that. So at that same time, watching this, I heard this message like a week later about the possibility that David was a bastard. So he never, like, the thought that, and then I felt impressed that the father was saying that there's that mentality in, largely in the church, that there's the thought that we're bastards, so we're not heirs, we can't partake in that inheritance.
Yeah.
And that he is ready to break that bastard curse or whatever that people feel like they're under, not even knowing it. But what I had tonight that he wanted to show me was just smooth river rocks with water flowing over them, and how that happens. It's just a surrender, as you said. It happens over long periods of time, and it feels so good underneath your feet. But then it's a just river rock is exactly what it is, because it allows the water to flow. It doesn't have a choice, really. But anyway, that's how the whole inheritance thing came about for me, and thinking that, because it didn't really change my view of his writing. And even today, you think, if he lives today, there wouldn't be a lot of church leaders that would want to canonize his works, any of his writing or anything that he had done, or even his story, because of his failures. You know? So I guess that just points to what the Father wants. No man can shut a door that he opens, which is the key of David. So
you know, there is a season where we shift from, I think all of us would consider ourselves, I think this language is language that has been used very often, as a servant of the Lord, right? We serve the Lord. It's been language that many of us have identified with. I felt someone challenge me that several years ago, David, and I think that it really speaks to what you're talking to. Whereas when we shift out of being a servant and we start to become a son or a daughter, because a servant doesn't know about their master's business, you know, a servant just does what they're told. But a son or a daughter knows their inheritance and knows that everything around them is theirs. And a son or a daughter knows the heart of their parent. And they are trusted to go about the family business. They are trusted to go and be an ambassador of the family's mission. And I love that transition where we go from being obedient until we go and be partners with God in a great adventure. Is there anyone else who wants to share? And then we'll wrap up. Marcy wants to share. Fantastic.
Okay, when you said the word master, son, this whole concept, this whole truth, I should say, of the faith of God as opposed to having faith in God has been something that I've been chewing on for the last couple weeks, but realizing that, in the beginning, God had said, let us make man in our image and likeness. And the faith of God saw that. And
in us.
He wasn't caught off base because of the fall of Adam. We have that mentality of being bastard sons because we identify ourselves with Adam. But actually, our original identity was prior to Adam, because God said, let us make man in our image. And as Angela was saying, we were in God's thought before the foundations of the world. And so there are no bastard sons.
Some of us come easily into that revelation, and some of us, it is our life purpose. purpose to come into that revolution. And so whether it is your life purpose, and therefore it is a great struggle, or whether you are gifted it, you know, through the journey of others, it is so our birthright, right? It's so good. Yay! So we're going to bring kids in. Did someone go to get kiddos?
I don't think so.
Okay. Taylor, thank you. Thank you. One of the things we love to do is give an opportunity for all of us to practice hearing the Lord with each other. And I actually really felt like we should get out the taboo cards, which we haven't done, and I think they're in the tub that I have. They got so organized, I'm not sure where they are. So if you're able to find them, Jocelyn, what I would love to do when kids come back in is for us to take a moment, and we'll actually do a little example right up front so you can see, because the first time I did this, I'll have to tell you, I was basically having little mini heart attacks. Because I was like, can you really do taboo cards and listen to the Lord? And is this going to go terribly wrong? And are people going to, like, well, I guess them never coming back is no big deal. But, you know, like, is it going to, like, not be encouraging? So what you're going to do is you're going to grab one of these cards, and you can hand it to somebody. So you take your card and you're going to give it to somebody else, and they're going to look on both sides, and they're just going to listen. And by the way, when you first start to listen, I myself hear nothing. Nothing. Always crickets chirping. I don't know about you, but I hear nothing. And then if I just go, just take a deep breath, I'll start to perceive something, I'll start to hear something, I'll start to see something. And then as I start to talk, the rest of it comes out. Isn't that so crazy? I don't know why that always happens that way, but that's how it always happens for me. Is that as I start to engage in the process, then it just starts to flow. And by the way, if somebody gives you a super bad word, just say, yay, I helped you practice, and go get a better one from someone else. It's so easy, because this is why this is called practice, right? Because when you go and play a sport you've never played before, are you a genius at it the first time around? Usually not. And so that's why this is practice. This is our chance to practice with and for each other. So if someone gives you some really crummy word and you don't feel super encouraged by it, hey, you help somebody practice, go get a better one. No big deal. So as kids, I think, will come in just a moment, we like to just hand out cards. People just grab some and take a moment. And if you're uncomfortable and don't want to participate in this, guess what? You don't have to, because we're making root beer floats. And we have some salty treats and I think some other sweet treats. Nikki brought some treats, Jocelyn brought some treats, we brought some treats, and so, hey, if you don't want to, just, you know, don't do it, and that's good, too. But let's give an example. So who would like to be an upfront example of this particular exercise? Jules wants to? Okay, come on. Do you have your card? She does. Okay. So Jules' card, here's her two sides. Grab an index card, for those of you who want to practice. For those of you who want to grab an index card, you're going to listen for Jules, write down your thoughts, feelings, or pictures, and then some of you will share them with everybody else. Okay. Hi, my friend. So, here's Jules' card. Are you ready for this?
Or not.
Do you want to read it or do you want me to?
I can't see it.
Okay.
Does this help?
Okay. Hers says, whisper, speak, softly, ear, sound, shout. It's a game, people, okay? So, but here's, whisper, speak, softly, ear, sound, or shout is on one side. Okay, I'm gonna flip it. This is hilarious. Pickle, barrel, cucumber, dill, sour, and green. So you can pick either side. You're going to start to have a picture or a thought or a concept come to you. Here's what you ask the Lord. What are you saying? What does that mean? Okay? Ready? Whisper, speak softly, hear sound, shout. Or pickle, barrel, cucumber, dill, sour, or green. Take a moment and write on your card if you hear anything. Again, this is a practice. The most fun part about this is that as we learn to hear hear what God is saying in all of our life circumstances and situations, do you know that we get to become the wisest person who enters any room? We get to become wisdom walking around. Our agreement with God in every single space makes, and it's not, we actually don't even have to say anything. Just knowing the heart of God in a situation makes us wisdom. It's so fun and so good and worth the practice. Okay, anybody ready to go?
I chose the other side of the card. You are full of flavor. You are a person of interest and character, and part of that is due to your flavor.
That's a good word.
Okay, this one's a little risky for me.
Right.
Because I'm either right or wrong, and I'm cool with either. I feel like there's somebody who you need to speak into their life right now, and you're holding back. And because you're afraid of coming across as like bossy, or I don't know, it's an adjective, or it's a synonym of bossy, but it's a different word, like controlling or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so you hold back when God is saying, hey, you have something to offer them. And what I felt him saying is, when you speak, it doesn't really matter what you speak, because what they're going to hear in their ear is him. So you're just going to say whatever you want to say, but he's going to interpret it and place it in their ear, what they need to hear and how they need to hear it.
Sharing if any of those jumped out at you?
Yours hit me in the face.
Yours hasn't hit me in the face because I have a little sister who I need to speak desperately to and to confront with things of truth that she needs to kind of get through. And so, and I do resist saying something because I'm afraid of the aftershock of what could happen. So that's like, dang, okay. So, and I'm constantly in a place right now where I struggle to hear or to say things to God, just because of what season I am dealing with right now and trying to make sure that I'm not being overbearing or asking too many questions or praying too much. And so, yeah, a lot of times I kind of get to that place where I can even whisper to him. So.
That's so good.
And you. Thank you.
That's so good. You know, it's so fun. When we started doing this just with our family, you know, even our kids struggled to participate. And I know that there were people who are in this room who are like, gee, if I disappear and go to the bathroom, you know, every week during this time, you know, would anyone notice? And all of us are really growing, you know, in our ability to hear in the moment for each other. And I feel like that's so a part of the life of the grand love affair. When we hear how God feels about or sees somebody, we are entering into his grand love affair with them. So may we fall heels over head in love with other people this week. Yay. Okay, we have a couple of things to wrap up our service. We have some goodies that are available. You have your cards to use with each other during this time, so we really encourage you to do it. And take advantage of the kids in the room because some of them are super, super, super good. So target a few of them if they're willing to give you a word. Also, if you're better with pictures than words, feel free to pick up a picture off the back table and use that and just return it when you're done. And do you want to pray a blessing over our offering?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're so grateful for the offerings that people are providing to make this space possible and to make this adventure possible.
Yep.
So you want to bless that? And then
so we have, you know, we always have the box in the back.
Yep.
There's also giving online if you wish to do it that way.
We finally have giving online. I know. We have people been waiting a long time for that. So finally, we did it. Yay. Actually, when I say we, I mean he. That's pretty much what that is. Yep. Okay.
So, Heavenly Father, we thank you.
Yeah.
For making this possible through these gifts, and we bless the funds, we bless the givers, and
yeah.
We just entrust it to you, Lord, as we do and continue to do, and we're so thankful. So, amen.
Absolutely. May you be the salt and light in your week. May you be the joy and goodness into every space that you walk into. May you be God's perspective with every person you meet. Go and be blessed this week. Amen.